Mercy and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Was it last week I spoke about the cars? The repair stuff? Okay, so for those of you who weren't here last week, I talked about car repair fiasco by me. And the last was the fact that I had torn the one car apart to change the multifunction switch, which I always thought was just a turn signal, and couldn't get this one connection off, and so it sat in the garage with a bunch of wires hanging down. I fixed it yesterday. I went back on the computer, went to YouTube, looked at the whole thing again, and found exactly what I needed to do to be able to break that connection to be able to put the new switch in, and it all works marvelously. Thank you. Please don't bring your broken cars to me. You'll be disappointed. What I discovered was when I went back on the computer and I did the Google thing to find the video that was going to tell me exactly how to do it, was a second video from somebody else. And so I looked at both the videos. So video number one, the first one I looked at, had me taking off parts and the shroud around the steering wheel and getting into the area to be able to take that switch off. Video number two had me taking the steering wheel off to gain access. Now, within the steering wheel of almost every car we own, there's this balloon thing that goes boom. When I was in New Jersey, I was in the EMS and I was on a technical rescue team that did extrication in car accidents. And so I know very well about what an airbag can do. In fact, I saw somebody have a concussion because of an airbag going off. I find airbags to be really scary that way, because in a technical rescue, you can cut the battery cable, which is the first thing we're told to do. Well, it's the second thing. First thing you do is you chalk the wheels of the car to make sure it doesn't move. You pry the hood open. You cut the battery so there's no power running through the car. But there is latent power that's still there that in bad situations can actually activate the airbag. And when you have your head next to an airbag, when you're trying to get somebody out of a car and it goes off, it's not a good thing. So I looked at number two and said, forget it, I'm not doing that. Apart from taking the airbag out, you'd had these special tools to be able to pull the steering wheel out, and I wasn't about to go buy some other tools to see that through, and so I stuck with number one. But, you know, the funny thing is, it was the same problem. But it was attacked in different ways. Last month, when we were at Habitat for Humanity, I was up on the roof. And I had been tasked with being at the end of the run of the asphalt shingles. And so there was a crew that would bring the shingles over to the end. And then I had to cut the piece that would be at the end. Now, I've done probably about six different roofs over the years. And I've probably gotten about 12 different opinions how to do that task. On the roof, on this given day, there were two different opinions that were shared to me about how I was supposed to do the job I did. And so as it ended up, what I would do when opinion number one came around, I did the way he suggested. When opinion number two came around, I did the way he suggested, and everybody was happy. But what YouTube and what Habitat for Humanity and Will Life teaches us is there really isn't just one way to get the job done. There are a variety of different ways for a variety of different tasks according to a variety of different opinions, and so things get done in a whole bunch of different ways. And then we talk about sameness. Today's gospel lesson. We're all one. We're all the same. Sameness. United. One. Unity. Who? Do everything exactly the same way because we're the same people under the same God and the same Messiah. And so we're going to be exactly the same. We should start dressing the same, talking the same, looking the same, get the same haircuts because we have to show sameness. Obviously, Jesus had no idea what the church was going to turn into. Because we're anything but same. You think about the variety of different denominations that exist under the umbrella of the Christian church. And within those individual denominations, the different branches that happen to exist there, it's very clear that Christianity is anything but united. If you remember the old TV show Cheers, my very favorite episode in Cheers was when Woody, the bartender, came in and announced to the bar that his wedding is going to be canceled. And they asked why. And he said, because my fiance and I have different religions. And Sam looked at him and said, and Sam was the boss, in case you haven't seen the show, said, Woody, I thought you were both Lutherans. He says, yeah, she's Missouri Synod and I'm ELCA. We can't get married. Now, Woody Harrelson grew up a Lutheran, and I think part of that episode really had to do with his comedic influence in terms of really pointing out exactly how moronic as a people we can be. That we will spend time and energy and consternation squabbling about all kinds of different issues, some of them that seem very important, and some of them are really trivial. But within this disunity that exists, we spend all of this time and this energy just at one another. Because they're different. And did you ever notice how it's always that they are different? We're never different. It's always them. So how on earth can Jesus talk about unity and oneness and sameness? Unless, of course, he's just talking about Living Water Lutheran Church. Because certainly we're all the same. See, the point of what Jesus was driving at wasn't this overarching understanding of what theologies, philosophies, or understandings were going to be. Within the understanding that Jesus was praying for his disciples and the oneness that he was looking for, falls under that understanding of the love that God shared. First with Christ, and then Christ within the world. And it really is kind of a beautiful time, I think, for this lesson to be able to kind of pop up here, because the closest thing we can ever come to understanding within our world about God's love really has to do with this sense of love between mother and child on certain issues, the one that we promote the most. And I have to be really careful about this because I know there are many people that have not found that sort of relationship, did not grow up in that circumstance, and might not really have an understanding of it. But in this idyllic world in which we promote, it really is that mother-child love, that love of forgiveness, that love of enduring kindness, that love that allows differences to come to a head and then be washed away, that is the envelopment of the love of God within the world. It is a love that forgives. It is a love that endures through all things. It is a love that inspires. It is a love that embraces. It is a love that works at problems. It is a love that does whatever is necessary to help individuals in situations of need. It is a love that embraces and cares. But most of all, it is a love that endures. And that is where the unity is found. In the unity of that love that God has blessed us with. A love that inspires us to embrace the problems of the world and to seek solution. A love that opens our hearts and minds to those other people who are different from us. And allow us to be able to approach them in that same love that Christ embraced the world. It is a love that allows us to seek out healing in times where we find ourselves bruised and battered, either physically, spiritually, or emotionally. It is a love that helps us and leads us and guides us to places that we might not go. To be able to share that message, that life of love, throughout the world. You see, it's not about being in lockstep. It's not about dressing the same, thinking the same, being the same. The unity through Christ is a unity that allows us to live out that love that God has blessed us with. To be able to enter into the world brimming with that love. To engage in the world with that sense of love that God has blessed us with, to allow us to see people who are different and seek to understand what the differences might be. To be able to encounter people who have hurt us and allow us to seek out that forgiveness that God shares with us. It allows us to enter into conversation with people who are in need. People who have been hurt, people who are in distress, and allow us to share that same love that God has blessed us with. The unity we find, the thing that binds us together, the things that holds us together as a Christian church, is ultimately that love. Because it is that love that defines us. It is that love that guides us. It is that love that inspires us. And it is that love that truly unites us. Amen.